Hey, what can you tell us about Dustin Byfuglien's status?
Just as what you read in the press release, he had asked for and was granted a personal leave of absence.
Do you have any update on the timeline or what you expect?
No, there would be no timeline to it.
Of course, your fan base, there will be all kinds of speculation. Can you rule out some things?
Let's just put it this way. There's nothing sinister to this. You start going down the list and then process of elimination, and he has the right to his privacy in this. So, like I said, there's nothing sinister to it. He needs some time, and he was given that.
Was this something, Paul, that maybe you were anticipating or just kind of came out of the blue last minute?
No, it was new. It was something new.
Obviously, the blue line with the turnover was going to be a storyline coming into camp.
Sure.
So how does this impact that storyline now?
Well, we don't know if it impacts it at all. I mean, for tomorrow's skate, it will. But we get into timelines again, and I don't have those answers for you. So we've got some new faces back there, and camp's important for them. If you're looking for silver linings, there's more games now, possibly. If Dustin misses games, to take a look at some of these guys.
Is there a reason to be concerned for Dustin?
Well, no. I think it's going to be well handled.
Beyond Dustin, obviously, you've got two big holes up front that aren't here.
Yeah, you know what? You deal with it like injuries. So with Dustin, he missed half the season for us last year, and that's true of all players that you... And again, we may hit opening night and not have any of these, but all three guys back in the lineup. So we go out for at camp, and we've got direction we want to move the team in terms of style of play, and we also need to assess some of these new faces coming in and see where they fit. But that's the purpose of camp.
What direction does that alter
in terms of some of those changes? Well, part of it is the personnel change, right? So getting to know those guys and style of play that you're capable of playing. I don't think there's any secret. The quality of our defensive game can improve. We felt it was really strong at times over the last 5 years, and then... You know, where you're talking about going from 5th to 15th in the NHL in terms of goals against in that area, you want to make there's an obvious area that you can get better.
Your veteran players obviously know where they fit in to the fold, but do you sense more excitement amongst your kind of middle to young guys with obviously Kyle and Patty and now Dustin? No?
Well, one of them said to me this summer, there's only so many seats at the table, and when one opens up, everybody gets pretty excited about it. So, sure, everybody wants more, and there's opportunity when you have players leave and players come in. There's that reshuffling idea always gives somebody the idea he can get to play more.
Paul, you've talked about the skill of defense before in the past. Is that something that has to be, I guess, a priority in camp here again?
So the two parts of it. So the question is it directed to the change in the players on our back end, or the comments that I've made? There's specifics to playing defense that need to get developed,
right? I mean,
with a young team.
Lost in rush chances last year against, and that sort of thing. So just team defense in general.
So 2 years ago, you're talking about in that line.
You talked about it 2 years
right,
ago.
Right. So okay, I'm sorry. There's a development curve that goes into playing defense, just as there is with offense. The skill of it, you know, how to control the puck in terms of defending a guy, keeping it. You learn those things as you go, so you're looking for improvement in that. And then every group comes together and you make that assessment of strength and weaknesses, where we're going to be good. Our rush defense, as much as you can look at it in specific, for me it was generated more from our offensive game. And most of this league is just a transition game. What happens, what you give when you get your chance and what you give up. And that would be an area that I think we focus a lot on here in camp. We've got four things. Just to tell you what, come to camp every day and you'll know what they are, because we're going to work on them right from day one. We've got four things defensively that we really want to cue in on and be good at it. Some of it is kind of reestablishing. Some of it is a new way of handling certain events that happen in the game defensively. So you guys get to come and watch and you get all the details you can.
Paul, will there be more experimentation than usual on your part in terms of
who's playing with who up front and on defense for these exhibition games?
Let me answer. The exhibition games, I'll answer this now so when you ask it 4 days from now, I can say there's going to be all different line combinations that happen in the first 7 days, I believe I have, straight through the third exhibition game. I tell you that now, and I know that things are going to change on injury.
Will
right?
You number them for us?
What's that?
Will you number them for us?
No, you'll see it. I'm playing people that have never played together before in some parts of it, and you'll see is with the new faces that you come in, the best thing they can do is play with a guy who knows the systems. And because they're in line and we're running the drill, they'll talk about it, and that's where the real quick learning. So we've paired our defense and our forward lines, even in terms of the veteran groups, with a new player to help with that. And then we'll run them, not really even look at special teams through the first two and three games. And then after that, we'll take what we've seen. Again, we've got some new faces, almost as of right now today, if this was our lineup, a new component on all four lines and all D pairings. We'll take what we've learned after that first block and start putting pairs together with our lines.
Can you give us just any spoilers on is Andrew Kopp going to start as a center or a winger, and is Jack Ross going to start as a center or a winger?
Both on the wings.
Understand? Go ahead, Scott.
Sorry. Yeah. What are going to be the pros and cons of splitting up Mark and Blake?
The pro would be you've got two really good players and somebody else gets to play with them. The con would be we've got elite production that we would like to think after two. I think Blake sits third in the NHL now over the last 2 years in assists and top 10 in points, that we know we get production with that and the cost of that. As your lineup in some ways, when you suffer injuries or you're missing pieces at times, gets to that point, would think more about concentrating forces and roles. When your lineup's full and healthy, there's more room to spread things out.
Would you be opposed then to doing it?
Never really opposed to anything, no.
Sure, but...
Okay. So, understand you.
Paul, there was a tidbit that you had...
Tidbit.
There was a news tidbit that you had been to Finland and met with Patrick Laine. What sparked that trip?
I did go. I do every year. I usually try to find the really good cities with restaurants and go visit those guys. So met with a number of players, called a number of players. I do that every year, yeah.
Was it part of the reason because of his contract?
Oh, I stay the hell away from that stuff. Yeah, no, never, ever have I ever talked money with a player or contract status. And any time that I meet with a guy or talk to a guy on the phone that's in that situation, that's the first line out of my mouth. I stay out of that because I have no control over it.
Paul, you're captain. Listen.
Day one, everybody's got a notebook to fill.
What about role and usage? Was that part of the conversation? I mean, the reports out of Finland are that was a topic that was raised.
We would talk. Yeah, so, but the answer to that will make it specific to him when it's specific to every player. Role and usage is something that's talked about and everything. How we see a guy, where he fits, where he's effective is something that would be... ubiquitous. Possibly.
How many other players did you meet with in
Finland? In Finland, just one.
You just went to Finland to meet Patrick?
What's that? I'm sorry?
Yes.
How would you categorize that meeting?
Really good. Yeah, I enjoyed it very much.
I mean, there's been a lot of speculation, a lot of things lost in translation perhaps, about whether he may or may not want to be here. What sense do you get from him on those things?
Yeah, I never, ever, that never came up. We talked hockey, and then we talked life and got to know him a little bit better, what he does away from the rink, what he has fun with. No, there was never, ever came up that he didn't enjoy being in Winnipeg or playing here.
Paul, you think that's recorded?
We're not doing the list today.
Hold on.
Sorry, you're so disappointed.
No, did you play Fortnite with him?
No, that's why you should be disappointed with that.
Patrick said it's pretty hard on himself. Was part of that positive reinforcement you talked at the end of the year about some of the growth that he's had in his game? Is that part of the conversation as well?
That would have been absolutely the main gist of the conversation was development. And I felt in his game in the last 6 weeks, he took some really good strides to becoming what I think can be an elite power forward, something far beyond the shot. But this is not specific just to Patrick. You can say the same about Kyle. There are specifics to their game that got him here, and they're great at that. And young players, then all the other parts of their game have to be developed in the National Hockey League. It's rare that anybody's just one thing and one thing only. So that was the whole point of it, was that last 6 weeks for me, he took major steps forward. We really want that to be his starting point this year.
With the benefit of the summer, I mean, obviously you had a strange season with 18 in a month and 12 in the other months. With the benefit of the offseason, were there anything else that stood out about maybe why those other months there were a few more dry spells offensively from what you
want? No, but go back to the month and look at the style of play that's played in the National Hockey League. That was November, December, almost the most wide-open months. And after December, the teams that are out of it knuckle right down. And when you get to the last 2 months after the All-Star break, we all say some of those opportunities that are there early disappear. When you've got a few years in the league and some time in the league, you recognize that your game changes.
Paul, with having two guys obviously in still contract situations, are you in Chevy's office every hour, every day, getting updates? Or
never about that, right? Those will get done when they get done. So it would be just probably experience over the years, these events. I mean, it's unique that they're young, and there's two of them here in Winnipeg right now, but it's not unique at all. This situation happens all the time.
Is this training camp, though, going to be a bit more unique? Last year at this time, I mean, Josh Morrissey's situation obviously was up right in the air, but you returned almost the same core that went right to the Western Conference Final.
Oh, for sure. Listen, I mean, we're going to be quite a bit different-looking hockey team this year. We had different faces, different styles, but the Josh Morrissey lesson is a good one, right? Josh wasn't here at camp last year at the start and just signed an 8-year extension, so good things can usually happen on these.
Would there be more teaching involved in this camp, say, than a year ago because of so many new faces?
Well, and that would be the exact design of what you'll see tomorrow, in that we will have now there's the basic systems of your game. Most teams don't change. They're pretty standard. The areas of importance and their style does. But we'll have a big chunk of these guys who don't need to really go through that neutral zone too many more times, right? And then you've got guys that have never seen it before. So there is a bit of a learning, but we don't feel we have to slow that down. That's the point of mixing the groups the way we did. The best teaching comes from your line mates and your D partner. When you're standing in line, you're going back over, this is how we play that situation, and then unique to me, this is how I like to play that situation. So we've done it so that we don't feel we have to slow this thing down to bring the new players in. A bunch of these guys are also veteran guys. They've played against us. They have a pretty good handle of what we run because the other team pre-scouts and does those kind of things. So there's not... No, it's the end. Our whole point is, let's not slow this down. We've got a bunch of guys who know what we're doing. We've got some brand new guys, but we won't start with basic systems. We'll start mostly with the things we need to get better at.
Paul, your captain had a couple of pretty pointed interviews before camp. I mean, what was your take on some of the things that Blake said? Did you get a sense of how much he was carrying on his shoulders throughout the season and towards the playoffs last year?
Oh, absolutely. But that I thought it was great because... You know, there's always that feeling that the fans especially would like to get to know the players more, right? And I don't ever find Blake guarded in what he says. Like, that's him. I thought it was great for Winnipeg Jet fans to want to know what Blake Wheeler's all about and what he's like, that was a real good indication of who he is. So that's with those kind of men, those wired men, that is always the challenge, being able to come here and compete at a high level. And then leave it, right? And they'll work on that their whole careers. It's not an easy thing to do, but I thought it was really good. I thought that's Blake, and he's you know, as we all go through it as men, as fathers, how do you leave the loss at the rink, or if you're not playing well, or if you don't like the way you're coaching, how do you leave it at the rink? That's a big challenge. So I thought he was real open and candid and honest. That's Blake.
But they talk about how he's a guy that you want to model yourself after because of that work ethic, and you know he plays it, but it's a hard standard to hit, and I wonder if that's hard on young players at times.
Well, that's growth and development, right? That's what you watch. Blake wasn't that player when he came into the league, and he learned to turn himself in. And when you look at his play and his game over the last 3 or 4 years, how it's evolved and the players become, it takes time. the kids don't see it. Like they never actually see it at that age. I think the analogy is, you know, they get their driver's license at 16 and they tell you, see, I told you at 14 I could drive, right? So you go through it, look back, and they all think they've arrived 5 years earlier. It took Blake, as hard as that man works and drives every day, it took him time to develop into that player. He does have the awareness. You know, I mean, I agree with everything he thinks and does in terms of his assessment of himself as a player, but he's not hard on the young guys. I mean, he's, for a guy that works that hard and drives that hard, he doesn't interact with the younger players that way. There's some grace about him. He can put his arm around a young guy, but he will embarrass you with work ethic if you just watch him play.
Well, just a thought on Josh Morrissey. You mentioned him earlier, and the good news yesterday of his extension, and what having someone of his quality locked up now here for the next 9 years.
Really, really good. A man that fits the Winnipeg Jets, right? His play alone, to get a quality defender like that that's going to be here for an awfully long time. But, I mean, a bunch of you are at events in the community, and you see them there all the time. I get an activity list basically every week or two about what our players are doing in the community. And his name is just all over that sheet. And it's also all the things that he does on his own, because he's that kind of person. And again, he was not at training camp last year, so... There's hope for all of these guys. We're just so fortunate to have him, and he's excited, and he's appreciative, and he's a wonderful person to have in our community.
Safe to say you're going to lean on him more than ever this season?
He will not be in my office complaining about ice time, ever.
Paul, I want to ask you about Nikolai Ehlers. He said he watched all his game film over the summer. What do you think of that commitment?
So his dad's a coach, right? And I mean, we may not have had an option with that. That might have been at the dinner table. With Nicky, he wants to get better and he wants to improve. And we felt that happened for him last year. So he comes into this league, skates like the wind, can put up points. And then each year, and I liked it, especially in the second half of the year last year, he started to figure out the Nick Ehlers way to grind. Everybody's different. So Ehlers and Lowry are going to grind in a different way. But each player has to be able to get combative and win battles and win pucks on the wall. And for slightly built young players, that's an awfully big challenge. And there's a long learning curve on that. So that's where I think the area of improvement, this guy's going to score, I don't know, so 20 to 40 goals over the course of his year, I think really consistently for us. Where his minutes come up is durability and effectiveness away from the puck. And in order to do that, you got to put the time in. I think he did.
You guys have to learn the system, but with so much turnover, how much of your job is potentially adapting your coaching style or your systems or the team's style to fit with the new personnel?
Well, that's a big question, Sean. We'll stick with systems and style of play. There doesn't need to be. Everybody runs a version of the same thing. How you are effective with it, you know, a lot of times is based on personnel. We will make some adjustments to our game, really looking at what we think we can be good at with the players that are coming in. We lost some size on that back end, but they move pretty darn well, so they can cover ice, they can close gaps differently. Again, it's the same idea. As a forward, Adam Lowry is going to forecheck a dump puck completely differently than Nick Ehlers is, but they can be equally as effective. And that would be true of your back end. There's some skill set here that we think we can take advantage of. So there are some changes in our game that has to be. That's true every year. You don't run the same style every year. We're going to look a little bit different this year. But we think we can move well enough to do it.
Your ruffled feathers comment and flattened them out. How much of your summer was that? Or is that something that maybe...
You know, sometimes when your analogies aren't very good... But in my head, it was still a good one. So I'm picturing this bird with a couple little feathers out, and you just kind of slide your hand, and they're gone. It seemed to have, you were thinking more pterodactyl. I was thinking more sparrow at the time. It wasn't that big a deal, but bad analogy, I guess. When you lose, when you think that you got a chance, not that you should win, because I don't think that happens in the NHL when you get the playoffs. All these teams are good. When you think you got a chance and you lose... There's a lot of emotion that goes into that, right? And a lot of anger and frustration. So, yeah, you want some pissed off guys at the end of the year. You're grumpy. That's a really intense environment, right? Lose the last game, walk in. Boy, that was fun. That didn't happen. Yeah, all the Sparrows are fine.
With all the stuff that happened in the summer, the Central Division, with the Central Division improvements, we don't have to go through the personnel. It's pretty obvious over the summer. Yeah. Is there a point in the summer where you go, wow, my job just got tougher?
Oh, you know what? There's a point in the summer where you go, okay, I've seen this before. I've seen every single year somebody does some things in the summer, and I get it. We all anoint them as the new cup contender. Look at the pieces that they've added. But there's enough of those teams that actually didn't make the playoffs over the history as the team that nobody talked about surprised everybody and went on a run. That happens just as often. So I get it. You look at the Central Division, the pieces that Dallas has added, all of those things. But the game's got to get played, and it'll be the team that plays as close to the best their team is possible playing. Those ones make it. So, yeah, so the Central Division, I've never felt it was got easier, right? Every year it seems to be like that. There's a jockeying of position. Some of it's based on health, goaltending, all the things. A lot of times your schedule and how it plays out. It's going to be a grinder, man, but I felt the same way every year.
Do